changed town. Sweet liberty, sweet liberty is in our hands. It's part of the plan, or is it a state of mind? Never forget.
You're listening to Jackie Patru and Sweet Liberty. And now, here's your host, Jackie Patru.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for being here with us tonight on Sweet Liberty. Today is Wednesday. It is the 20th of April in the year 2005. Today is Adolf Hitler's birthday, and it is also my daughter Nicole's birthday. And I used to think that was pretty a shame, and I've told her since I've found out some different things about Adolf Hitler that she could have done worse having her birthday on that same date. I hope you had a nice day today, ladies and gentlemen. We are definitely going to be talking about Codex Alimentarius. And just in case, I know that we've thrown that name around, we're not talking about it tonight. That's what I wanted to tell you. But Codex Alimentarius is a plan to harmonize all of the food values, vitamins, etc., and to totally control it has a lot to do with the nutrition that today we have available for at least reasonable prices. And what they intend to do with this is to make it so that it would be illegal to have, unless it's a real low, low potency, something that would probably do us very little good, unless it was prescribed. And the pharmaceuticals will begin formulating the vitamins. Do you like that? We will be talking, barring any unforeseen events, we will be talking about this on Monday. I spoke with the gentleman today at the suggestion of Mildred, a lovely lady, one of our listeners, and a great supporter of this broadcast, I must say. And I did speak with him today, and he is going to be here with us Monday evening. And tonight, Alan Watt was with us. No, he is with us. Alan.
Yes.
Do you ever think ahead while you're talking?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what I just did.
Yes.
Tonight, Alan Watt was with us. Well, because I didn't have anything prepared for our spiritual message, I'll do this. This is Mother Teresa. It is a writing by Mother Teresa. People are often unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you're kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you're successful, you'll win some false friends and some true enemies. Succeed anyway. If you're honest and frank, people may cheat you. Be honest anyway. What you spend years building, someone could destroy overnight. Build anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, people may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today, people will often forget tomorrow. Do good anyway. Give the world the best you have, and it may never be enough. Give the world the best you have anyway. You see, in the final analysis, it's between you and Creator. It was never between you and them anyway. Alan, thanks for being here tonight.
Yes, a pleasure.
You know, last night when I said your voice sounded low?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Mildred called. Well, no, it wasn't. It was Melvin, another of our listeners. And he was just saying how much he appreciated your coming on with us and the information. But he said it was real low at first. And
yes.
Then, or maybe it was Mildred that said that. And then suddenly your voice got nice and loud and clear.
Oh, okay.
And it isn't very loud right now.
It's not, eh? How's that now?
I don't know. Talk.
Is that better now?
Maybe a little bit better.
yeah.
But when it comes through clear, it's really wonderful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you are clear. It's just kind of muted, I guess. Alan, when we talked today earlier, and I asked, are you okay?
Yeah.
Because I sensed that something was bothering you.
Mm-hmm.
And what you began talking about is your concern about what is happening and how fast it's happening today.
Yes.
And how important it is that as many people as possible understand. And so that's why we've decided not to have a break, like, you know, till next Monday, and to have you back tonight. So whatever it is in your heart and on your mind that you want to share with our listeners, please do so.
Well, I keep telling people that the stage we're at now, this particular stage, is the final battle for human consciousness, or the elimination of it, one or the other, because the big boys are on a roll, and they've written about it for centuries as to what they wanted to do, and they're now in the process of doing it. And it's like the drugs you're talking about, or vitamins. They're standardizing everything, you see, across the whole world.
They call it harmonizing.
Yep, and what it really is standardizing.
Yes.
And since they're knights and all the rest of it, a knight has a standard, and they put that standard in the ground, and everything around them from horizon to horizon is now under their standard, or it's standardized. And when...
Would you like to expand on that? What did you say, knights of the standard?
Well, all these high Masonic knights, as I say, they use knightly emblems and words that we use commonly, and we don't think even where they came from.
But they do use the word harmonizing.
Oh, yes.
And you're right, they are standardizing it, aren't they?
They are, and even when they were signing the North American Agreement, this amalgamation on the 23rd, as they were doing that, they quipped on the newsreel that even pizza from the north of Canada to the south of Mexico will come under these laws, and all the ingredients will be standardized, so you get this exact same pizza from north to south.
Oh no, are you serious?
I'm serious. I've got this on
That every pizza is going to taste the same?
Yeah, well, I don't know if it'll taste the same, but it certainly will have the same ingredients in it. And it'll be the same with everything else. They're going the whole way to standardize everything. You know, it's obsessional compulsion gone to the tenth degree. You know, and eventually, of course, they plan to standardize each individual human being, because the chipping is only one part of the process, and the next race of slaves that they want will be cloned, and they'll be all standardized too. This is how I wouldn't say insane, because they have written about it copiously, but this is how diabolical this whole thing is. And we're right on the brink now, literally, to retain consciousness and that essence which we call humanity. It's fighting for its life, and most people don't even know it.
Know it.
Yeah. As long as they can come home after working, turn on the television and watch their favorite programs to the very last day, as long as the Seinfeld repeats come on or whatever they watch, they'll think everything's okay. But this literally is a fight for
And then there are many of them who think it's wonderful what's happening, because it's a sign that Jesus is coming back.
Oh, yeah.
And he's going to have his kingdom. The seat of his kingdom will be Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
And my gosh, Alan.
Yeah.
There are so many people that actually believe that it's wonderful what is happening.
Yeah.
because it is that fine. Now, if a person would read the protocols and hear what the plan was, regardless who the heck's plan it was, it was laid out this perfectly 100 years ago. I mean, I do understand, and our listeners, I'm sure, get it, that it isn't a 100-year-old plan, but, I mean, actually, in writing, how they're going to do it, and when you read the protocols, it's right on target.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, and they say, you know, that Jerusalem will be their headquarters, and their king despot of the blood of Zion will have his quarters there, and he will be the pope of the world.
Yes.
And then we find out that Rome has evidently made plans, and I didn't know this, Alan, to actually move the Vatican to Jerusalem. So do you think a whole bunch of Catholic, quote, Christians will be cheering and say, look, it's the end, it's the time?
Yeah, and you understand that all the traditional religions have within them the same mystery religion that really runs the show. And it's the same with the word Zion. People don't even know what it means, you know. And it's the
hermaphroditic... Well, say what it means.
It's the hermaphroditic deity. That's what it means.
Zion?
Yeah, the mountain that they used to worship, where the moon passed over the top, was called Mount Sin. And that's where Sin comes from, S-I-N or Z-I-N, it doesn't matter. And then you have On, which is the phallic symbol of the male deity, or the obelisk, which it passes over. And of course, the pyramid of Cheops, or Khufu as it's called in Egyptian, is the uncapped pyramid. It's the top. It is the top of an obelisk. That's what it represents. And over it passes the moon god, Sin. So when you take the first two letters, which is typical of high occult masonry, in modern and ancient, you end up with Z, and then On, Zion. That's what it means. That's what it means to the high masons. It's the completion of the male and female in one. Because behind all the religions, whether it's Hindu, or any of the others, they're all, even ancient Greeks, their god was male and female.
Well, I remember in Genesis, where it says, male and female, made he them.
And of course, if you go into the Talmud, they also talk about that. It doesn't mean they made male and female one and one. It can also mean that he made a bunch of male and female
hermaphrodites. Well, that's
why you have,
that's kind of how that's said, isn't it?
Yes.
And because I remember when I read that, I thought it was worded funny. Male and female made he them.
And if you you look at the exact wording in the Greek. And you have imagio, which is the image. It means the perfect likeness, sameness in sight.
So what, in other words, the quote, architect, what would you call it? That, I mean, a cloned body, is that what we're talking about?
Basically.
By a hermaphrodite?
An exact duplicate of the of that particular deity. And that's the symbol behind even occult Judaism and Catholicism and all the rest of them, is the hermaphroditic figure.
That's why
you have two creations or beginnings of species. Not the first beginnings, but they talk about regenerating of the planet, which means to repopulate. But you have two beginnings where the deity creates male and female. And then later on you look and it says there's no one to till the soil, so he takes Adam and Eve.
Well,
what they're talking about there is those that were made in the same image of God, the gods, if you like, the human gods, man and woman, are the upper elite group who will control the world, whereas the Adam and the Eve types are the workers, you see. It's a system they're describing more than anything else, wrapped up in a story. It's a system.
Well, what is their ultimate plan, Alan? I mean, if you, at least as you understand it.
Well, the ultimate plan is being laid out and spoken of by many of them, such as Aldous Huxley. He went into the fact that science, and that's what they mean in Freemasonry when you read them talking about the law of nature and following nature and by dissecting nature. In other words, everything that works in the world of physics and biology, etc., and chemistry, once you understand it all, you can then take the original material and the world which was left imperfect by the Creator, according to Masonry, and reshape it into their own perfection. Everything is to be recreated in their own perfection. So Huxley was well into this. Bertrand Russell, Lord Bertrand Russell, also talked about the need to do this. And Charles Galton Darwin also said exactly the same thing. They said that shortly, it is already in the 1950s, Galton Darwin said in his book The Next Million Years, we already have too many of the working and lower classes, which will become unnecessary in the future.
Well, sure, they already are with all the computers,
yes,
and robotized machinery.
Yep, and he says we can't allow them to simply proliferate and procreate and reproduce themselves, because eventually there'll be too many for them to be controlled by the establishment. Now, all of these authors, or none of these authors, ever talk about government or democracy. Never, because government and democracy is nothing but a front, an absolute front, and always has been a front for what we call the establishment behind it. So whenever you hear the speeches or read the books by these people, they simply give the agenda, and they don't even bother to pay lip service to this Punch and Judy show we call politics. But yeah, they've written about it, what they would have to do, and sure enough, every year the United Nations, since the 1950s, since the polio vaccine came out, since the 1950s, they tell you every year what the male sperm count is in the Western world, and they go through the countries. Now, they never give a comment, they simply give the statistics as though it's, you know, quite natural. Well, last year they said that the male sperm count in the West was down 75% of what it was in 1950. Now, that should mean a crisis level if it was some sort of strange natural occurring phenomena, like a disease. But since they don't comment on it, it tells you right away this is part of the agenda.
I know, but, you know, there's still a lot of children being born.
Oh, there are, but the fact is, if you look at the population, especially the white populations, it isn't just that they aren't having so many children, it's the fact that the males are becoming almost sterile, and what sperm is left is too weak to reproduce. So that there are other reasons behind this, but this all began with the inoculations. And when you mentioned the protocols, they did mention in there that they would kill off people and so on by inoculations. So it isn't science fiction of the past we're discussing. It's the laying out of an agenda which is being fulfilled, and they've almost reached their goal. Aldous Huxley thought it was just fantastic that they could eventually manipulate the DNA and clone different kinds of people for the task they have to perform, minus that part of the brain that gave them their higher intellect or self-awareness as an individual. That will be cloned out, you see. And then you jump back 2,500 years from when he said it, and you have Plato talking about the exact same thing in the Republic. And Plato belonged to the mystery religions. He was part of the Greek aristocracy. And he said, we, the aristocracy, are descended from the gods. So you connect that once more with the same God created man and woman, and later created Adam and Eve, and you're back to the same thing again. There's an upper elite group who literally have been running the world for many thousands of years, and they have sham governments as fronts, always, in every country. And the agenda has never faltered, and no part of the agenda has ever faltered, regardless of what political party is in power. So, you know, we are literally at the stage where...
Your voice just got nice.
In 50 years or less, maybe 40 or 30 even, and according to that Loyola University meeting, they hope to have the chipping completed by about 2018. Well, that's the end of individual consciousness for the general population.
I thought 2012 was their magic number.
That's when... No, they want to start it around then. They want to start it then and have...
Start what? The chipping?
Yeah.
You said they started that back in the 60s.
That's when they were experimenting.
Oh.
They want to have the whole population chipped now. Now they're going for everyone, you see. The experimenting is over. They have the one that works best. And now they said that at that meeting, and now the only problem they have is to convince the general population to accept it. When they were testing them out on people, these subjects didn't know they were even being tested out on. You know, it was done covertly.
Uh huh.
And they've laid their agenda right out, and they're going full steam ahead with it. You know.
So, people knowing this,
yeah,
what do you see?
Well, I think it should be the prime preoccupation of their life from now on. To literally, they better train themselves very, very quickly that they are in the battle for their lives, and train themselves not to be distracted or even switch off for a little while. To have the relaxation that they're used to, or the programming they're used to from TV, they better start dedicating themselves 100% to combating this, because it's coming fast. In fact, Canada just announced that they're having next year a fake general flu, killer flu alert, and they're going to have a massive testing of how the hospitals will react across the whole country next year. And in that blurb from the CBC, they also mentioned that in the future, with the chip implant, they'll be able to track down the actual carriers, no matter where they go in the world.
Wow.
Very quickly. And so here's another plus, you see, pushing for the chip. So in 2 or 3 years' time, with the propaganda that's coming out, Joe Public, I'm afraid to say it, will actually look upon this and believe this is all for his benefit, and will be looking forward to it, never knowing that there's a completely different intention behind it, because Joe won't know who he is once that switch is thrown. He'll be controlled by a computer. He literally will be remotely controlled.
And
he won't have the ability to even know he's an individual.
What can Joe do, knowing about this?
He has to start telling everyone he knows. It's like that little quote you read by Mother Teresa. It doesn't matter what they think of you while you're doing it. Do it anyway.
Do it anyway.
Because it has to be got out. Everyone's got to know, at least know the truth behind this, and that's the only way they can combat the propaganda that's pushing for it. And they better also instruct their children in it too.
Well,
very quickly.
You know, this conversation Mm-hmm. It can just take us everywhere, because you know the thought that enters my mind?
Uh-huh.
Unless people have seed, at least as natural seed as we know natural today, because maybe it all has been genetically modified in time gone by.
Mm-hmm.
But the kind of food that is being purchased and brought home and eaten from the grocery store,
yeah,
with all of the junk that is in it, Alan.
I know.
And I mean, you think about it. I read this a couple, 3 years ago. They have carrots that you can get a hepatitis B vaccine from.
Yeah.
And we have no idea what types of vaccines mm-hmm. are being. I mean, some of these plants are actually growing the vaccine or whatever that. It's out of this world.
Well,
but what good does it do knowing about it when you are eating a meat that is irradiated, when you are eating food that has all kinds of preservatives and additives and chemicals and and probably vaccines and God only knows what in it.
Yeah.
What good is it going to do to know it, Alan?
Well, they'll have to spend extra money and try and get organic produce.
You know, it is possible, even if you live in an apartment, you can actually grow vegetables in containers.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. See.
But here's a kicker, too, you see. There's something else that was talked about recently, and it's I kid you not, it's the banning of home gardens.
Oh, yes.
And
that came up a couple years ago.
Well, it came up again from the United Nations because of course, their spin on it is that the additives that people use in the soil and herbicides are destroying, you know, Mother Nature, etc. And therefore, that they want to stop all home gardening, and they hope to start this program in 2 years. I mean, they're going the whole way, you know.
Yeah.
And people better understand this very quickly, because it's coming to a place near you, you know. And they better get up and get off that chair and throw that TV out the window and go to the meetings where they're supposed to be discussing this, because they will go through formalities. And they better stand up and say, no damn way.
But and bring your own documentation.
Yeah, the fact is, you can't leave that meeting until you've got your way, because we're in a battle now for our lives. That's what we're in. And there are people at the top who have quite calmly discussed the elimination, remember, of over three-quarters of the human race in the next 20, 30 years.
Well.
And they mean it.
I know they do mean it. I know that.
Yeah.
And you know, when we get into these types of conversations,
mm-hmm.
and it's like we're swimming in it,
yeah.
you know, as we're discussing it.
Mm-hmm.
And always what comes back to my mind is that there is nothing more important right now than to get our own house in order.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about our own spiritual house.
Mm-hmm. That's right. It's their own everyone's disconnected. Or if they're plugged in at all, it's to a regular church, which isn't speaking out about the very things we're talking about, because they're part of the agenda, the control agenda, you know. I mean, why aren't the churches speaking out about this and telling their flocks of sheep what to eat or what grass to eat here? They're saying nothing about it because they're part of the control. And organized religion has always been used for that very purpose.
Yes, and Passover is coming up,
mm-hmm.
and there will be a whole slew of Christian Zionists,
mm-hmm.
or Christian, whatever in God's name they call themselves, that will be taking the Seder meal in the synagogue with the Talmudists, Alan.
Yes.
I don't know.
People who want to do what, you know.
We have to take a break here. You hold that time.
Yeah.
People that want, okay? Hold that. Folks, we'll be right back. Please get your pen and hand so you can write my ad.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Roll away the dough.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at firstamendmentradio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the sweetliberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to firstamendmentradio.com.
Hello, I think we're back on the air, and Jackie's popped out of the office for a couple of minutes. So I'll give you my name and address, and it's Alan Watt, W-A-T-T, and the address is Site, S-I-T-E, 41, Box 4, Estaire, which is E-S-T-A-I-R-E, Ontario, Canada, and the postal code is P3E, that's Peter 3 Elizabeth, 4 N for Nora 1. And my phone number is 705-695-0416. And I have got two booklets out on much of this masonry or occult teachings, if you like, explaining what they all mean. And you can get the first copy or the second copy. They're $25 each, for an includes postage and handling. And I'll get them out as soon as I can. Get your order in. And there's a third one coming out pretty shortly. I think it's necessary because of the stage we're at now, to go a lot further, a lot faster, because, as I say, the time is getting so short as to where the world is going, and how we're all just going along with the Pied Piper's followers, and in a trance. We're being entertained to death, and the entertainment is actually our programming. If we look at the movies they're churning out, and have been since the Loyola meeting to do with chipping the brain, where they said that all novels and movies will start to contain stories about this and point out all the pluses. And you simply take the Matrix movie as an example, and you have Neo, who is the new man to come. His name means the new. And of course Anderson comes from Andres, which is the Greek word for man. He is the new son of man. And how does he get into and out of the Matrix? He plugs himself into it from the back of his head. And he has all these amazing powers. And the children think this is fantastic. And of course, the whole idea is to make people believe you will have superpowers. Now, I'm well aware that there are people who will want to escape from the world and plug themselves in like the lawnmower man. And that is up to them. But for those who are beginning to wake up, I think they should start shaking themselves awake very fast and learning fast and dedicating themselves to fighting this, because once it's happened, that's it, it's game over. There's no second chance. It literally will be the end of consciousness as you know it. To read on that is The Ghost in the Machine. And I know, here's another problem with modern society. Most people who are on the internet tell me they cannot read a book anymore. They simply can't go through a book, because they're getting bits and bytes, and that's the new language, is little bits of things.
What do you mean by that, Alan, people who are on the internet?
Well, I get them phoning me up, and they'll ask me, where do I find this information or that information? I'll tell them, well, you go to your library. I'll give them the names of the books to look up. Most of these types of books are available at the library or can be gotten through interlibrary loans. But as soon as I mention books, they tell me right out that they can't read a book anymore.
And how do you respond to that?
Well, I say, well, why bother phoning me for information?
Mm-hmm.
With a clarification that they'll only look into it if it's on the Internet. Now, the Internet is designed to be fast-paced and to recondition the mind to think in short bits and bytes. And people who use the Internet a lot, I've noticed, they don't read anything right through. They get bits and bytes of it. And this is, again, intentional. Zygmunt Brzezinski talked about giving it to the people back in the 1960s,
right,
and what its real function would be. It's a preparatory phase of conditioning the mind to the binary code, because the whole computer system runs on zeros and ones and zeros. That, and hence the high number 10 in Masonry. It's conditioning their actual minds to be nearer to a computer's logic than a human logic. And they don't realize this.
But, there are whole books on the Internet.
Yeah, but they can't read anything right through. Now, anyway, getting back to The Ghost in the Machine, for those who can't be bothered to read the whole book, just read the last chapter. And that's by a man employed initially by Stalin as an officer. And he helped in the starvation of millions of Ukrainians. And he tells you in his own writing in that book that he was so conditioned in believing in the communist system that what he was doing was part of historical necessity. That's the term they use when you have to eliminate vast populations.
You mean that's what he was told and he believed it?
Yes. Now you think, after he tells you this, that obviously he changed his mind.
That's what I was going to ask.
But that's the big shocker when you find out that no, he came over to New York, worked for the United Nations, he taught in universities there, and he worked for the UN think tanks on ways to literally lobotomize that part of the brain, the higher part, the higher intellect, and that's why it's called The Ghost in the Machine. It's that elusive part that is your spiritual connection with the body, you might say, that makes you you. And his job was to try different techniques. He said there were other think tanks, and he had regular meetings, and the other think tanks were employing other means of trying to achieve the same ends. And he worked for about 20 years on this very problem. And in the last chapter of the book, he goes through not only what they decided on doing, and he does mention, by the way, dumbing the people down through the altering the food, adding chemicals to the water, and so on, to make them more accepting of the next phase. And he also rationalizes the reasons for having to do this to bring world peace. And utopia to these elitists is going to be a hell for everyone else.
Yeah.
If they get their way. And these people are deadly, deadly serious.
You know, Alan?
Yeah?
The water, utopia,
mm-hmm.
For them, is whoever is left of the underlings will be so drugged,
yeah,
or maybe they won't even need to be drugged by then, but I don't know if there's any truth to what their plan is. If you're reading, like This Perfect Day or 1984, those,
yeah,
they had the drugs.
Yeah,
anybody who suddenly felt some type of emotion,
mm-hmm,
reached in their pocket and took out a soma.
Yes.
And took the pill to get those emotions gone.
Yeah.
Well, think about this. If this is true, I don't know, but it has been reported in newspaper reports that they're finding high quantities of Prozac and all these psychotropic drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Evidently, whatever the body doesn't absorb is being excreted, and it is not being filtered out. It's in the drinking water, Alan.
Well, it's been in the drinking water because they're also spraying it along with the other chemicals in these trails above our heads.
You're assuming that.
No, Rumsfeld said it right after 9/11 on television. He was asked what their plans were if there was another major crisis in a city where the people began to panic. And he said, we already have chemicals to spray over entire cities, he said, containing Prozac and Valium, aerosolized Prozac and Valium. Now, if he said that then, it doesn't take much to come up with the equation that,
you're
that
right.
They're already doing it. And, of course, because it's being found in the drinking water, they're simply diverting the reality of where it's coming from.
Okay.
You know.
Okay.
Because the people not today, many people are beginning to lose their short-term memory. And I've talked to many people who've complained of this. And yet they feel sort of happy as though they're tranquilized. And that's what's happening. It makes perfect sense as we go through these massive world changes and societal changes. The biggest changes that's ever happened since the Industrial Revolution began, and all the people were moved into the cities, we're going through the biggest change society has seen for hundreds of years.
Hundreds and hundreds of years.
Yes, and it makes perfect sense to drug down the people as you bring them through it. Makes perfect sense. But
well,
when Rumsfeld admitted that, I thought,
do you feel tranquilized?
Not so much. Occasionally I will get bouts of being tired. But what I've also noticed is those who were really, really awake prior to this don't seem to be affected the same way. And I think it's because they're so used to studying that their mind is able to self-compensate.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you study, you must memorize and so on. It keeps your mind alert.
And there, do you suppose there could be something to it? Those who are more spiritually conscious or
mm-hmm.
connected, aware of the connection.
I think so.
That
yeah, I do think so.
Maybe so, Alan.
Yes, because there's no doubt about it. I've done my own sort of unofficial surveys, and that's what I come up with all the time. So, as I say, you must always be able to jump from where you are into the mind of the controllers. And you can only do it by studying them and their writings. And it makes perfect sense to drug the people as you're bringing them through such incredible changes, leading ultimately to the extinction of individual consciousness. You would have to drug them and make them happy.
Or not necessarily happy.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily happy, just emotionless.
Yes.
Happiness isn't an emotion, Alan.
mm-hmm.
And unless they're giving a happy pill,
yeah.
I would think that it would be just an emotionless,
mm-hmm.
that
yeah.
they wouldn't feel much of anything.
Well, they don't, you see. They don't even respond much to... I mean, they can sit and eat their dinners and watch Iraqis getting blown up by mistake, you know, whole villages, and it doesn't bother them. When that doesn't bother... If you can't cry for every catastrophe that's occurred on this planet to all the different people, if you can't cry for them, there's something wrong with you.
Well, if we did that, we'd be crying all the time.
We should
but
be crying all the time.
But weeping within our... I mean,
yeah.
the sorrow or the... compassion
yeah.
that you feel.
It's the empathy.
Yeah.
And when you lose empathy, then you're emotionally stunted. Something's happened to
yep.
you. And that means that if all those around you are the same, well, who's going to cry for you when they come for you? No one will. So we better wake up fast and see what's really going on here. And try and become, as I say, as human as possible. And by that I mean use the humaneness within you. Use it with others fast and for others fast, regardless of what they think of you, because the time is really getting short now. When you watch how much spraying they're doing almost all over the planet right now, on a daily basis, we're watching clouds that have come out of science fiction movies, but they're right above our head and it's no movie. And this is happening daily now. And these clouds are becoming the new norm to most people who can't remember what the old clouds look like, you know. So they have gone the whole way. They have tampered with the food. They have altered them for vaccinations, but they've got down to such a micro level that they can also create drugs within those foods as well. Just like soma was opium, and we know where opium comes from. It comes from a plant.
Poppy.
They're simply doing the same thing again.
That's why they call George Bush's father Poppy.
That's right.
Not because he was his papa,
mm-hmm.
but because of his opium dealing. We have a call here.
Yeah.
Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead. Who are we talking to?
Yes, good evening. This is Myron.
Hi, Myron.
Out of Georgia?
Yes, Myron.
Yes, I called him last night also.
Yes, you did, dear.
Yes, I will be very brief as possible. I want to state that I received Mr. Watt's booklets, and I thoroughly enjoyed them. Very, very informative, and it truly blessed me. I would like to say something. I have done my own personal research on Freemasonry, and I went to the local library within my town as well. And I came across a book. It's an autobiography of Albert Pike. And the name of the book was called The Man Beyond the Monument. And the author's name is Jim Kressner. Within the book, he states that Albert Pike made a remark. And if I may, share a brief remark.
Yes, go ahead.
Albert Pike has stated.
Yes, do, Marin.
It's a short paragraph. It states on page 76 of this book, the remark made by Albert Pike is this. To the ancients, this light was an outflowing from the deity. To us as to them, it is the apt symbol of truth and knowledge.
Myron?
Yes.
You're just a little bit close to your phone.
I'm sorry.
And I would like you to start over, honey, because it's a little over-modulated.
Yes, ma'am.
And I want our listeners to be able to hear you.
Okay. Is this better?
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. To the ancients, this light was an outflowing from the deity. To us, as to them, it is the apt symbol of truth and knowledge. Masonry is a march and a struggle towards the light. For the individual as well as the nation, light is virtue, manliness, intelligence, liberty. Tyranny over the soul or body is darkness. This is the last paragraph. Masonry to the Masonic brethren is a search after and a journeying toward light. The Masonic light is truth. It is the inculcation of truth by means of symbols and instruction, teaching a pure morality by its lessons and lectures. It is also a great system of philosophy and of political and of religious truth concealed by symbols. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, Myron.
You all have a good evening.
Thank you. Alan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, I've said this before.
Mm-hmm.
So often, because what he was reading didn't sound terrible. You know, tyranny over the souls of man is mm-hmm. darkness.
Yeah.
How do you explain this?
Because on the lower levels, that's exactly the propaganda that they do put out. And you must remember, even the word man, it does not refer to ordinary people in their religion. The profane are not really men and women. In fact, the profane are subhuman. And of course, when you really read Albert Pike's own book, not by someone else, read Albert Pike's Morals and Dogma, and he tells you that Freemasonry is a religion. And he tells you, again, he says, make no mistake, it says Lucifer is God. And unfortunately, so is Adonai.
He says that in Morals and Dogma?
It's in Morals and Dogma, yeah. Make no mistake, he says, Lucifer is God. Lucifer is the light, you see, he's talking about.
And in the Masonic rituals,
yeah.
I was writing, I actually have this in chapter 16 and 17 of the book.
Yeah.
They say to the Freemasons, when they get up high enough,
yeah.
The lost word is Jehovah.
Mm-hmm.
That's in one of the initiations, or
yeah.
The part of... So Lucifer and Jehovah
mm-hmm.
are the Masonic God.
Yeah.
So they're
two sides of the same coin.
Well, of course. I mean, Lucifer... the reason I'm saying this is because of the call I received
yeah.
from a listener who said that is referring to Jehovah as mm-hmm. Lucifer is blasphemy. Well, but it isn't Jehovah, it's Yahweh.
Yeah.
And that I was being put on an altar,
mm-hmm.
That he would take me if
yeah.
I was wrong, or take her if she was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That is, now, this is not a cruel lady. What she is saying, she means it with all of her heart and soul, because
yeah.
she believes with all her heart and soul that Yahweh,
mm-hmm.
or Yahweh, however they do it, that is Creator,
mm-hmm.
and that is the God Jehovah, but it's using his name wrong. You see, the whole thing is so twisted.
But well, when you cut through the chase of Freemasonry, most people don't get beyond the third degree.
Yes,
and
I know.
And they're quite happy as a Master Mason, you see. But life begins at 40, and that's what it means. The 40th degree is when they start to tell you what the real truth is.
Well, there was a Masonic song,
yeah.
and it was sung to the tune of God Save the King,
yeah.
which is the same tune of, what is it? Oh, beautiful for spacious skies or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, right in that song, the lyrics are Jehovah,
yeah.
Jove, O Lord.
That's right. And Kipling, Rudyard Kipling also wrote it, and he says, Jehovah, Jove by George. You know, that's
by George.
Yeah. So, I mean, so it's a big joke to them, because ultimately in Freemasonry, the High Masons are taught the truth. As they come in, the Grand Master sits in the east, you see, where the sun rises.
Oh, yes, and you know what they say?
And they go around the altar, and the secret is that you have become a god.
Mm. And they're building temples and tabernacles
yeah.
in the souls of man and nations.
Yes.
And when they ask, which way are you traveling from Babylon to Jerusalem?
Mm-hmm.
This is up somewhere... around the 16th or something like that
mm-hmm. yeah.
Level.
Yeah.
But it's all totally, it deals with Jerusalem and the temple and the avenging of Hiram Abiff,
mm-hmm.
and it all goes...
And Hiram Abiff is not a person.
Yeah, it's a...
it's a symbol
uh-huh.
of the higher self, the godhood within man. And the three unworthy craftsmen that they talk about, they often call it the Jewes, J-U-W-E-S, like Jack the Ripper used. It's desire, thought, and action. That's what they stand for. Desire, thought, and action used impulsively, without using your, will kill the higher God within you, and you become a low profane. That's what it means. It's all allegory, you see.
I know, but you know, the thing is, there's so many people
yeah.
who say, I am a Christian,
uh-huh.
and worship
yeah.
and adore Yahweh, Jehovah, Jove, Lucifer,
yeah.
and they don't even realize they're doing it, Alan.
Well, that's how far mind control can take you. And really, it's also a choice for them, and you can't really do anything about it. Yeah, the time has come where you have to concentrate on people
who do want it.
Who do want it? Yeah.
Yes.
Those who are worshipping the traditional religions, on the one hand, are preaching the terror of the last days, the ETs, extraterrestrial or end times. They have a big joke with that one. And on the other hand, after they've terrified their flock, they say, but don't worry, God's in control. So who's doing it?
Yeah, and Jesus said that the kingdom of God is within you.
Exactly. Yeah.
And if that isn't the most outward of our expression,
mm-hmm.
and I know I'm not saying that mine is,
yeah.
but that would be our desire to be an expression of our Creator.
Yes, that's right. And remember, Albert Pike was also a member of the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry, SRFM. And if you speak it, you see, that's another one of the little tricks. If you speak it, you have seraphim. Seraphim are the highest order of the angels beneath the cherubim. And the Scottish Rite calls themselves the Order of Perfection.
Yeah.
And when you're perfect, a perfect eye, you are now a god on earth. But of course, they can't publicize that at the bottom.
You know, one of the degrees is called the Knights of Kadosh or something like that.
Kadosh, yeah.
Kadosh.
Yeah.
Well, and in my researching, I find that the first Jewish synagogue or temple or whatever was the temple or the whatever, Kadosh.
Yeah.
And there we are in one of those degrees of Freemasonry.
Yeah, it was also a battle place.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We've got a call here. Go ahead, caller. Who's that?
Hi, Jackie. This is Kate.
Yes, Kate.
I want to know from Alan, you know, the Catholic Church years ago has been taken over by the Jewish Masons.
Yeah, we've only got a couple minutes, honey, so be it.
What I want to know is that this other pope that died, or they killed him, why did he always kiss the ground when he got off the plane? And I'll hang up.
Oh, okay. Alan?
I think he's afraid of flying. But anyway, or maybe he's just kissing his own property.
He's afraid of flying, Kate.
But the fact is, I mean, you see, the mystery religion has been always present within all organized religion. It's behind it. And,
we're out of time.
We are, huh?
Our music's playing.
Okay.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back Monday. I want you to know, well, never mind, it's too late, I can't say it. But we'll be back with you Monday, ladies and gentlemen. Alan, thank you.
Thanks, pleasure.
Okay, good night, folks. God bless you.
Roll away the dog.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at firstamendmentradio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the sweetliberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to firstamendmentradio.com.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of the First